What a very, very good morning. That song's catchy. It's great. Brilliant. So this morning, resurrection bodies. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 to 49. That's the main passage from this morning. Okay, I'm going to ask you a quick question. Well, I'm going to say a fact first. Then we'll... Actually, let's pray now. I'm going to pray now. Jesus, thank you so much that we can continue in our worship with talking, engaging, listening, unpacking elements of your word, your scripture this morning. Thank you, Jesus, that you truly are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you that in you we have a hope and a future, something to really grasp in the world that is falling apart, that you, Jesus Christ, are truly Lord and Saviour. So, Lord, I pray that this morning any words that are not from you, anything that is not of you, may they not take root in our hearts and in our thoughts, but anything that is of you, from the preparation, from the time spent praying and wrestling through, may those words, the heavenly kingdom seeds, take root in our hearts and our lives, to not just be amassing information, but to truly transform us to become more like you, to be more like you in the world that so desperately needs more of you, Jesus. So thank you, Lord, for the privilege of spending time here together in this place. Amen, amen, and amen. Okay, so the body, any mentions, I'll be talking about the message of hope. But actually, it is hope, but we're talking particularly on resurrection bodies. So last week we looked at resurrection and how Jesus on the road to Emmaus, he was there walking with those two disciples and they didn't recognize him, but something was stirring in their heart. Their hearts were burning. I remember Curly Carol, said to me, "Can you imagine the most incredible, best Bible teacher ever were walking with them? No wonder their hearts were burning with something being stirred." Amen. Amen. And this morning we're looking actually, what is a resurrection body? So Jesus, they didn't recognize him, but it's when he broke that bread, that hope, that intimate act of breaking that bread, that fellowship, that was the moment where actually they were like, "Wow, it's Jesus." And then he vanished. Wow. And then actually the body, the resurrected body, that's what we're talking a little bit about this morning. So did you know, in fact, how much do you reckon in the UK, not the world, the UK, beauty products? That could be toiletries, cosmetics, makeup, etc. Anything under that banner of beauty products in the UK, how much do you think? Now, this is from 2024, this particular statistic, so it's a couple of years out of date. How much do you reckon we spent in a year? Anybody just maybe shout out a couple of...
Trillion.
Who said a trillion? Wow, you must be ordering a lot of makeup. Okay, we've got a trillion. That's a high bar. Okay, anybody else? 3 billion. 3 billion. Oh.
5 billion.
Okay, I think you get the point. So we're talking trillions and billions. Okay, so we're estimating around 22.3 billion pounds in the UK alone in 2024. That's no short amount of money, is it? 22.3 billion. You know, a couple of jokes. So why was the makeup so confident? It had great foundation. Yes. Okay, my wife was putting her makeup on. I commented that she had drawn her eyebrows a little high. She looked surprised. Anyway, so, you know, we're happy to spend so much money on cosmetics. As we can see, that is a lot of money spent on beauty products, trying to keep ourselves looking young, fresh, confident, etc. I will stop there. So clearly we are a people who want to keep our bodies fresh and hopeful. I'm going to ask you whether or not you'll be happy. Bearing in mind, this message does get recorded, so please be aware that this may be put up onto our website as a recording. Would you be happy to share any ailments that you are facing in your body at the moment? Because we all know our bodies are far from perfect. Our bodies have weaknesses and vulnerabilities. Anybody feel brave enough to share? Maybe be wise in what you share. Yes. Here we go.
A frozen shoulder at the moment.
Oh, okay. Frozen shoulder. Okay, we've got a frozen shoulder. Anybody else want to kind of beat that, match that? Anybody else? Frozen shoulder. We've got a frozen shoulder over here.
I can match that with a sprained ankle.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, frozen shoulder, sprained ankle. Anybody else? Yes. Come on, then.
Right.
Uh-oh. Yeah, it's a long list coming.
I have a meningioma. I don't know if that's how you say it. Okay. Brain tumour. Oh. I have osteoserratic arthritis spondylitis.
Oh, dear. Okay.
I have quite a lot of other things, so I can't remember it all.
Yeah, long names as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
I've got a bad back from carrying. Yeah.
Got a bad back from carrying. Yeah. That's a lot to share. Thank you. I mean, there's a lot going on. Yes.
I have severe arthritis in my left knee.
Severe arthritis in your left knee. Yeah.
As a lot of people know, I've got a very bad ankle here, which is twice as big as the other one.
Wow, so, twice as big ankle.
And nothing can be done about it, but it's not life-threatening, and I just praise the Lord every day.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This is good. Let's keep going. This is great. Anybody else? Okay.
I've got a very bad short-term memory.
Pardon?
I forgot what I said.
Sorry, I know I shouldn't. That's terrible. Safeguard. I'm so sorry. I'm right. Rachel is looking at me. Rachel Carrick, our safeguarding officers. Like, you shouldn't be doing that. Okay.
And arthritis.
Yeah. Okay. So short-term memory, arthritis, riddled with that as well.
I got high blood pressure. If you want to add another one.
High blood pressure. Okay. I mean, I'm sure we could go on and on and on. Our bodies are not always healthy. I mean, I've personally got chronic idiopathic urticaria and angioedema. So I get sweating, I get lumps, I wake up sometimes, I'm all swollen, I'm on lots of medication. It's been 10 years. This week I've got an appointment with Gloucester Hospital. I might get pumped with some sort of biological treatment, but it's a pre-consultation. Our bodies are weak and frail. No wonder we're trying to sort them out with all sorts of beauty products. Sometimes our faces, we look in the mirror, and what do we really see? How is our body image getting on? And we can't escape it. Our bodies, what we look like, our physical bodies, it impacts how we feel, impacts who we are. There is a link between our body and who we feel ourselves to be. When we receive disorientating or traumatic news about our bodies, it has a profound impact. Bodies may not be the entirety of who we are as people, but they certainly contribute to our sense of self. So, this is where the hope comes in. The bodies we have now are subject to decay. Our resurrection bodies will reveal decay's reversal. In our resurrected bodies, we will be at last fully as God intended us to be and able to live up to our calling to be exactly who God created us to be. There will be no more sickness, no more pain. Wow. Who's looking forward to that? No more lumps all over my body and swollen and feeling all, yes. No more carrying these things that we have to carry. No more feeling exhausted. Our bodies are going to be restored. That's amazing. There is so much mystery with regards to that. Have you ever wondered But what are our bodies going to look like? Will we be able to recognize our loved ones? Are we going to get new skin? Are we going to be taller, more musclier, more like Barbie and Ken? And so many other questions that we may have. It's a bit unknown, in all honesty. I have been reading and reading and reading on a few different perspectives on what our resurrected bodies may or may not be. For this morning's purposes, I'm going to highlight a couple of words and really a nod to a perspective, and then bring a message of hope within that context. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15, 42 to 44. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 to 44. So, it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a physical body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Okay, so we know that our bodies are weak and frail. We know that we're going to be facing death at some point. Natural death, could be an accident, but death will come to all of us. I mean, we could talk about, can you continue to live in AI and consciousness? But that is a whole other conversation. We're going to park over here and maybe keep it over there, have a lock here, and never go there again. But anyway, no, we probably need to at some point. But in terms of our natural bodies, our physical bodies, we will come to a point of death at some point. What happens when we die? Oh, that's a good old question. What really happens when we die? Okay, there is an assumption here that we are in the context of believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. As Christians, what happens to our bodies when we die? This isn't a message about heaven or hell this morning. So, Paul, as he writes, there's a couple of words here. See you, Kikos. I think I said that right. Which genuinely, lots of different kind of intonations, but overall, alive. The body, alive. Some nuances mean thought, thinking, but alive. And then pneumatikos. A life flowing from and fit for the Spirit of God. So our new bodies are not just the recipient of life, they will create life. Paul here, our resurrected bodies will no longer be marked by human mortality and frailty, but by the life and vitality of the Spirit. Our bodies now are shaped by what they cannot do. Our bodies then will be characterized by what they can do. 1 Corinthians 15, 42, we just read that before. There is more to life than just living. Away from death, away from what makes our bodies perish, towards more life, more vitality and more energy. Fully alive, open to God and the creative life that he brings. I'm going to read that again. So our bodies here on this earth, yes, we're living. We are living. Just checking we're all alive in here, yes? Great. So we have that life, and then we receive Jesus as Lord and Saviour. then that Holy Spirit comes, we accept the risen, the resurrected Jesus Christ. There's that life, yes. But we know that our trajectory in our humanness is going to end in death. But in the spiritual kingdom, we're going to be raised into a new body, a spirit body, fully alive, vibrantly alive. This particular author of a book, let me tell you the name of the book. There you are. Paul Gooder. I'm struggling to read that. And the book is Body, Biblical Spirituality for the Whole Person. I really recommend this book. There's so much more that unpacks Greek words, Hebrew words, the thought or the context of the time of when Paul is writing. It really is great. And it touches on, will pets really go to heaven? What really happens to our bodies? And it just goes a little bit deeper. But I recommend that book. And her attempt of trying to bring these two words, this whole kind of narrative together is, it is so in terms of the body. The body is sown a body that lives and raised a body fully and vibrantly alive. We're going to carry on reading here. So, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15, same chapter, and just a few more verses on. So, from verse 45 onwards. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. And of course, we know the last Adam is Jesus, Jesus Christ. The first Adam, Adam. Second Adam, Jesus. So the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the physical and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, made of dust. The second man is from heaven. As one of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as one of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have been born the image of the one of dust, we will also bear the image of the one of heaven. The one of heaven. So Adam became a living being. Yes. Jesus, the last Adam, became a life-giving spirit. The body. So Adam's body, perishable, arguably marked by some of the root words here when we look at the essence of our body and our spirit and our soul, going back to also Plato and thoughts of the day. Read that book, it's great. But bringing some of the basic notions, the body was perishable, marked by humiliation and inability. But the resurrected body, like Jesus Christ, full of vitality, glory and ability, made alive by the Spirit, fit for the Spirit, and such will be life-generating. Life-generating. Okay. Can we connect with this heavenly spirit today? Yes, I believe we can. Does that mean that in today's world, we can be fully alive, fully in this new created body? No, I don't believe that, because our bodies are made from this earth, human. We're in this world, the old creation. The new creation is coming. That's Jesus, heaven, his kingdom. Our bodies are not prepared for that. Jesus walked this earth, I believe, fully God, fully man. Yes, he bore the scars. And the resurrected body, interestingly, still showed those scars. But they didn't recognize him in his physical body that they saw. Because it's a new body. It's of a different kingdom. It's a heavenly body for a heavenly kingdom. Fully alive. Full of vitality. Completely free and full to be a body designed and created alive in the Spirit of God. In the spiritual world. In the spiritual kingdom. What I would say, though, is that here on this earth, with our mortal bodies, we can absolutely focus and feed our body with things of heaven. Now, you know, like myself and everybody else here in this building, in this room, at home listening, and maybe at a future time you're listening, that if we as human beings are provoked, abused, treated disgustingly and horrifically, that's going to impact us, not positively. It's going to have a negative impact. Nurturing a plant, nurturing an animal, nurturing involves tenderness, care, and love. The world we live in, all the demands and all the pressures that our bodies are planted, there are things to destroy us, things that feed us physically and spiritually, that is not going to nurture, it's going to destroy, and it's going to damage, and it's going to cause a lot of pain and hurt. There was a good phrase, you are what you eat. I can't remember who it was, some many diets over the years, juice diet, this, that diet, something else diet, you are what you eat. And there's some truth in that. What you eat is going to have an impact on your physical body. But Paul here, writing and looking at the words, looking at the nuances and what it means. So we're born and our bodies have got that thing destined to decay. When we die, our resurrected bodies are destined full of life and the Spirit. Flesh offers a satisfaction that cannot satisfy, a hope that is not hopeful, and a future that is unsteady and uncertain. The perishable cannot inherit the imperishable. The perishable cannot inherit the imperishable. I said before, this isn't a message of heaven and hell, but we have to mention that if you are not in Jesus Christ, if you have not accepted him as Lord and Savior, and you have therefore not accepted and have welcomed the living Holy Spirit in your life, then you will not inherit the imperishable. You will not inherit a heavenly new body when you die. That is very clear when we read Scripture. It's a very narrow path, and I'll come to that in a moment. Romans 8:5, according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh, the perishable, the destructions, the things that are not going to fulfill us. Those who are according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Flesh offers a satisfaction that cannot satisfy, a hope that is not hopeful, and a future that is unsteady and uncertain. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Human mortality simply cannot inherit that which is eternal. Oh, we'll just do good works. We're fine. You know, we'll just do this, just do that. Yeah, turn up to church. Yeah, great. Tick that box. What are we watching? What are we engaging with? What are we standing up for? What are our actions? Where do we, to whom do we place our hope and our security and our trust? Again, when our bodies are messed up, when we have been hurt and abused, battered, torn down, destroyed, how do we respond? A life with Jesus Christ doesn't make our bodies perfect, as we all know. Healing, we can pray for healing. Of course we can. People are and will and have and will continue to be healed. God is alive today, just as relevant. Healings happen all over the world. Restorations take place. I fully believe that. I've witnessed it and I've seen miracles. I've been part of that. Don't stop praying for healing. I will say, it's a mystery. It's not a guarantee. I don't understand it. I don't understand why God chooses to heal this person and not that person. I do not understand why, seemingly, we can pray with the same passion, the same emphasis, and yet nothing happens. I don't get it. But I'm not supposed to get it, because God is God. He is holy. He is other. His will is his will. I don't blame God. I'm not going to get angry with God. I'm still going to choose to worship him and give thanks to him for everything that I have been given. This is where faith that transcends all human understanding, a hope that doesn't make sense. Why is it that that person who I know has been ravaged, beaten, broken, a horrible, disgusting life, and yet they are choosing to still worship and give thanks to Jesus? They are still choosing to not be limited by their human broken body. They are still choosing to step out and to trust, to worship, to smile, not to be fake, but to still choose to go, you know what? Jesus is my Saviour. He is my Lord. And despite this, I'm still going to give my all to him. Hallelujah. I want to be more like that. That's inspiring. We are in bodies of old creation. The new creation is coming. The more we become bound by the things of this world that call seductively to us, the harder it will be for us to experience the transformation of the life-giving Spirit. We can fix our eyes on Jesus and his ways. Why though? People ask, but surely all paths lead to God. What about Muhammad? What about Joseph Smith? What about Buddha? All paths lead to God, surely. Okay. I'm going to read an extract from something I listened to this week. When Jesus was alive on the earth, he said a statement that to this day is very controversial. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No human being can come to God but through me." Jesus said something that was very exclusive, that the only pathway to God was through him. Jesus also told us that there is only one God, who is Yahweh, and that there is no other God, and that any other God is an idol and is not a true God. Now, Jesus taught that. Not Andy Eyre, not insert any name here, but Jesus taught that. I guess you've got to ask the question, was Jesus telling the truth or was Jesus a liar? If Jesus is credible, then there is only one God, and the scriptures gave us his name, and that God is Yahweh, Jehovah. If Jesus is credible, there is no other God but Yahweh. If Jesus is credible, there are no multiple pathways to God except through him. If Jesus is credible, then the pathway to God is small, narrow, and exclusive. If Jesus is credible. If Jesus is not credible, then there are multiple gods. If Jesus is not credible, then there are multiple pathways to God. If Jesus is not credible, then Allah and everyone else is the same person. We need to make that decision, whether Jesus is credible or not. £22.3 billion spent on beauty in 1 year. £22.3 billion spent on trying to ensure we keep ourselves young, fresh, etc. Looking good, being accepted, having that confidence to know that we are accepted and we are great. When we look in the mirror, there's some hope. £22.3 billion. Can you hear that? £22.3 billion. Maybe more time needs to be spent on our knees, crying out to Jesus Christ. Maybe more time needs to be spent in scripture, studying. £20 for Bible, £10 for Bible. You can get them free online. The cost is minimal. Why don't we spend more time seeking the living truth when deep calls to deep? What's the cost? Well, we're happy to spend billions of pounds on looking great, but why do we still feel so rubbish when we look in the mirror? Our bodies are a gift from heaven. No matter what we are facing, no matter what we're going through, our bodies, they are a gift. How do we treat our bodies? Well, we buy lots of makeup, clearly. Beauty products. I'm not against buying products. I'm not bashing that. But I'm trying to make the point of going, I'm feeling pants about my image. It's been there, my body image, since I was a kid. I got publicly shamed and laughed at in a swimming lesson when I was 7 years old. And I've carried that sense of my body is a failure. I've got bigger breasts than most women. That's what was laughed at in front of when I was a kid. And that is, I'm 47, and that is something that I've carried through my whole life. Even to the point where I haven't gone swimming with my own kids because I feel so ashamed of my body. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That is demonic, that is destructive, and we need to wake up. I need to wake up. And I'm trying to accept that my body is a gift from God. Still needs work. I am realistic. But it's that sense of not feeling content and happy. We will never be fulfilled by the things of this world, ever. That will not last, that will not remain, that is perishable. We can spend all the money on things, but we cannot take it to heaven with us. Who are we in Christ? Well, I'm accepted. I am God's child. As a disciple, I'm a friend of Jesus Christ. I have been justified. I am united with the Lord and I am one with him in spirit. I have been bought with a price and I belong to God. I am a member of Christ's body. I have been chosen by God and adopted as his child. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. I am complete in Christ. I have direct access to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ. Wow. I am secure. I am free from condemnation. I am assured that God works my good in all circumstances. I am free from any condemnation brought against me, and I cannot be separated from the love of God. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am confident that God will complete the good work he started in me. I am a citizen of heaven. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. Come on. I am significant. I am a branch of Jesus Christ, the true vine, and a channel of his life. Yes. I have been chosen and appointed. This is for all, it's not just about, yeah, it's applaud. Look how great Andy is. This is for all of us. When we accept Jesus, when we are saved, and we choose to live a life with him as the center, him as savior, we can start to have confidence to say this. I am a branch of Jesus Christ, a true vine and a channel of his life. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. I am God's temple. I am a minister of reconciliation for God. I am seated with Jesus Christ in the heavenly realms. I am God's workmanship. I may approach God with freedom and confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We've got to believe these things. Take it on board. This is who we are. Our bodies, battered, broken, falling apart, all sorts of things going on. But when we have a life surrendered with Jesus Christ, that resurrection hope and assurance that we're going to get new bodies, resurrected bodies, spirit-filled bodies, full of life and vitality, called to be everything we're called to be. How do we respond to a message like this? I was going to bring a mirror, and you can do all sorts of things. You can put words of encouragement, who you are in Christ, write them on the mirror, and ask everyone to come by and just spend some time, look at the mirror, and letting those words kind of sink in. I was thinking of being quite creative in how we respond. But the Holy Spirit will speak to us for who we are, where we are, right here, right now. You know the things that you are struggling with. You know the things that you've been carrying for a long time. The Holy Spirit knows too. In this time of response, there may be some of you here listening. You need to make that choice. About Jesus Christ. If Jesus is credible, maybe some here this morning that really does not like the body that you've been blessed with, that you feel a failure, you feel unworthy, you feel that you do not fit in and that you're not good enough. The image of yourself is really low. Paul. And that could be for all myriad of reasons. But like I shared with you, I personally, for so long, have been carrying that myself. And it is not that is from Satan. You are created in God's image. What a gift. What a blessing that the body you have is. There may be some here that are thinking, what on earth is going to happen when I die? There's a lot of fear and anxiety with death. We can be assured of our faith. We can know that our faith is real and there's genuine sense of connecting with the living God. But these doubts can creep in, especially when we face significant trauma in our bodies, or we just know maybe our time's coming. There is a lot of uncertainty when it comes to death. It is a mystery. I do believe that when we are in Christ, that we will absolutely be raised to life with him in a new body where there's no more sickness, no more pain, where we're going to become so fully alive and be able to be everything that God has called us to be. There's going to be that restoration, that fulfillment, that joy, that hope, everything. I do believe that. So let us pray. Let us respond. May I encourage you to get that book if you want to understand a bit more about the Greek, the Hebrew, the context, the thought, Plato, and all of that stuff that informed Paul's writing. It's fascinating. It is really interesting. I believe there's prayer team. And also, if you're with somebody that you trust, please ask them to pray. with you. If you feel you're able to share vulnerably and openly, it's great to get things out into the open. You don't need to come and share it on the microphone where it's recorded and for everyone to listen. That's not what we're asking you to do. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Jesus Christ, that you are credible. Thank you, Jesus Christ, that you are the risen Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that you truly are our Lord and Saviour. Thank you, Jesus, that we can know God, Heavenly Father, because of you. Holy Spirit, may you speak to us now. Help us to trust, to surrender all of our fears, our worries, our concerns, our doubts. Holy Spirit, may you speak to us where we feel broken, where we feel beaten, where we feel hopeless. Thank you so much, Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, that when we die, because of you, your Spirit that is living in us, that hope of a future, that we're going to receive a resurrected body, a new body for a new kingdom, for a new creation. Thank you that we will know when that time comes, no more pain, no more sickness, but a joy and a transformed outworking and expression of being fully alive in you. That vivality and life. Open our eyes to what you are doing here amongst us in this place. Help us to give thanks for the bodies that we have been blessed with today. And help us to navigate through any issues of image and identity. And may you speak to us in a real and living and personal way. Give us that courage to choose you in a world that so does not choose you. Give us that courage to trust you despite all the available products, despite all of the creams and ointments. I'm not saying we shouldn't have medication. I'm not saying we shouldn't have these products. But help us to trust you that our soul and who we are, our very being, that's where you lead us in the stillness, in the quiet, to know that we are loved, called, chosen, and set apart for you. Help us to accept our identity. Help us to accept the hope that you have placed in us. Thank you, Jesus, that you are credible. Amen.